You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Here we are, July 16th, 2020, and there, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. Lynn Anderson, the country singer, that was her big hit. And we're going to have some fun with that and how the mainstream media continues attacking President Trump because of what he did in the Rose Garden. Never promised you a rose garden. Listen, we're going to have some fun with that over the next 2 hours. The mainstream flack just absolutely still incensed. Trump didn't do what he's supposed to do in the Rose Garden. He told us he's going to be there for one thing. He did something else. And they think he should be, crucified for that? Yeah. Listen, one of my missions on this program, I've always looked at, is not just putting up positions I have and sharing some of your positions as well and looking at issues, but to actually educate and bring some things to the table that you probably don't get in other programs and maybe some subjects, topics you haven't heard discussed before. But also, as serious as it sometimes could be, we can also have some fun. But what's happening in our streets right now, that is not funny. Not funny at all. President Trump, you know where he stands on crime. And you know what blue city mayors are doing about crime in their cities. Look at the death count every weekend. Chicago, New York, L.A., Detroit, St. Louis. Pick a blue city run by a mayor and you'll find the crime is up. I believe that crime in our streets, that kind of violence, not just the protesting, but the general violence that came with that as well, will be a driving force of this election. And there are a lot of Democrats. They won't say it, but they're not going to vote to continue that. And Joe Biden's already made it clear that he supports defunding police pretty much. You know what happens when you defund police. Well, President Trump now has the endorsement of the National Association of Police Organizations. They had endorsed Obama and Biden in both of those elections. The last time around when Trump was against Hillary, they didn't endorse anyone. This time around, they're endorsing Donald Trump. And you're also going to hear today how the Washington Post is trying to help Biden explain defunding. And the violence against police and other law enforcement escalating. And yet there's still a push to defund, abolish police. How about this? One city decides police are no longer going to conduct traffic stops. You know who's going to do it? Civilian city workers. Yeah, I know, you're supposed to be driving the street cleaner machine today, but we need you to go out and make some traffic stops. That is not going to end peacefully, because every police officer would tell you there is no such thing as a routine traffic stop. You never know when you stop someone for an expired tag or making a left turn without a signal. You don't know what they've done before that and what they're ready to do when you come up to the car. Also, we have news about a COVID vaccine. Is it going to be that effective or not? Dr. Rick Layman would join us to discuss numerous COVID stories. And there's a story running around. Quentin called my attention to this early this morning, a bombshell beginning to drop regarding the Washington Redskins, not just changing the name, something else, something big that apparently is going to be very damning. I don't know if it's to the team, the ownership, the management, or all. We're still waiting. Dr. Layman has a lot of contacts in professional sports. I'm going to ask him about that as well. See if he has heard anything we're not hearing so far. And also, we have one city council that has voted to apologize to black residents for past slavery. Okay. And this same city council then voted, we're going to come up with reparations for all the black citizens living in our city. What is that going to look like? So these are folks who are living now who had nothing to do with slavery that generations ago. Maybe they did or did not have relatives that were involved either as slaves or slave owners. But they're going to start a repatriation project. It's just what the left wants to hear. And it's going to be putting more pressure on other cities. You got to do the same thing, or you must be racist. Listen, we got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. I really encourage you to let your friends and neighbors know we are on the air. They do not want to miss what's going to happen over the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Tom Wellington and his staff at Wellington Environmental have certainly been busy over the last several weeks, making sure businesses and hospitals and nursing homes are clear of COVID-19. As you begin to reopen, try to restart your business, I would encourage you to contact Wellington Environmental. I'll give you a phone number in a moment. They can come in, assess the situation at a very reasonable cost, and make sure your facility is clear of COVID-19. And even after you're open, if something comes up and you're not sure, you want to contact Wellington Environmental. And not only for COVID-19, for any other threat, mold, any toxic situation. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. In business for 30 years, you know they're doing it right. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have other cities that are out of control. They're like war zones. And if the city isn't going to straighten it out, if local politicians, all in this case, I don't say this for political reasons, they're all Democrats. They're liberal, left-wing Democrats. And it's almost like they think this is going to be this way forever.
President Trump, of course, as he's addressed the violence in the past in our cities, protests beginning under the First Amendment for a peaceful assembly, quickly escalating to rioting, arson, vandalism, attacks on police officers directly, and the violence in the streets shows no sign of letting up. And he said, I don't want to make it political, but the fact is, in many of these cities, they have blue mayors. That's right, Democrat mayors, liberals, in every one of those cities that have some of the high crime rates right now. L.A., Chicago, Detroit, D.C., New York. There is a direct correlation. And of course, you're going to have the left say, well, it's not our fault. We're not doing anything to encourage it. Really? What about in New York City? I mean, you've got in that city, that state, and others have stepped forward and done the same across the nation, moving forward with no bail laws. If you're arrested on a charge, unless you killed someone, as long as you sign a piece of paper and say, I'll come back, they'll let you go without having to pay a bail. And they're going out the door before the police officers can even finish their paperwork. And, of course, with the violence in the cities, deaths of many innocent children. Children with a parent in a car, walking a street, dancing inside a home with a mother, and suddenly struck down by bullets of gangs firing shots at random maybe targeting someone in particular, maybe just say, let's just have a shoot 'em up. President Trump is certainly making it clear that these Democrat-run cities are like war zones. I dare anyone to dispute that. Again, I'm looking at some of the numbers I've got here from just Chicago on the 4th of July weekend. 70 shot, 14 fatal. Oh, Memorial Day weekend, 40 shot, 10 fatal. The last weekend of May, 85 shot, 24 fatal. I mean, that's one city, one example. So is there any surprise, or should there be any surprise, that now we have a major police organization stepping forward and saying, we are going to stand and endorse President Trump? The same group had in previous elections when Obama and Biden were running, endorsed that team. That means they were accepting Biden as well. And they did it for the first time and the second time. In 2016, they did not endorse Hillary nor Trump. Now they've seen what Trump has done and what the left is trying to do. So the National Association of Police Organizations endorsing President Donald Trump for president. That ends that previous support for former Vice President Joe Biden. You can say, well, he was on the Obama ticket. That's who they were endorsing. And they did it for two different elections. You make whatever statement you want. The fact is, right now, with what's happening in our nation, they're saying, no, we cannot go with Biden. The letter from the president of the National Association of Police Organizations stating, our endorsement recognizes, in this letter to President Trump, your steadfast and very public support for our men and women on the front lines, especially during this time of unfair and inaccurate information being directed at our members by so many. This organization represents more than 1,000 police associations, 240,000 plus sworn officers. The letter also cited how the Justice Department under Trump has been prosecuting those who attack police officers, how he signed the Law Enforcement Mental Health and Wellness Act, and his support for the 9/11 First Responders Fund. And the Trump campaign had this response: Joe Biden has done nothing. I'm going to read that again. Joe Biden has done nothing. Stop his party's defund the police movement and remain silent as police officers across the country are being attacked by violent rioters and protesters. The senior advisor for law enforcement and labor unions stated, this endorsement for President Trump highlights that as the law and order president, he is defending the hardworking people who risk their own lives every day to keep our communities safe. That's what he's been trying to do. And did you see what happened in New York on the Brooklyn Bridge? There was a protest underway. Members of the police department went out, including the police chief. They went out to try to meet with them and try to keep things nice and peaceful. That was the intent. That's why they thought, if we go out and we show that we're here, you know, maybe they'll know we're really paying attention. So we're going to try to make sure they understand. Well, when they got there, yeah, the violence started. There's video of one man attacking a group of cops, hitting them over the head, hurting one of the officers, and in fact, the police chief, the highest ranking officer standing on the line, the chief of the department, swinging a wooden object. Other video had shown a car arriving shortly before they gathered, and the guy began unloading bats, baseball bats, from his trunk. They came looking for trouble. Three officers seriously hurt, one suffering an injury to his eye socket. 35 were arrested. But what happens? They get summons to come back because in New York City, with the politics of the day, they pretty much look at it, an assault on a police officer is just, you know, part of doing business and part of what you have to deal with, and a not much more than a misdemeanor, if that. And, of course, we continue to have this rioting in Portland, Oregon. This has been going on now for weeks. And I told you yesterday how the mayor of Portland, Oregon, had decided he didn't want any federal agents in his city. They were standing there trying to help protect federal property because the police got stretched too thin as it was. And then they came under attack. Some protesters bringing things like a hammer and other items. In the midst of all of this, I want you to hear a comment from the Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, Mark Morgan. And he was addressing this issue about, well, these are just protesters, right? They're just protesters. Listen to his answer.
These are not protesters. When you're talking about what's going on in Portland, for example, these are criminals. These are individuals that are planning, organizing with premeditation to destroy federal property and harm federal officers and agents. They are coming every single night for the past 2 weeks armed with weapons, with rocks, with hammers. They're putting nails in plywood to intentionally harm. I could go on with the list of weapons, and every single night for the past several weeks, they've done just that. They've attacked the building and intentionally harmed law enforcement officer.
They are not peaceful protesters. They began erecting tents in downtown Portland's Lounsdale Square, right across the street from the Federal Pioneer Courthouse, one of those federal properties Homeland Security is trying to protect with bringing in federal officers into the city 2 weeks ago. But again, now the mayor of the city is saying, we don't want any federal agents here. We didn't ask for you to come here. You should leave. You're creating problems and violence. They're creating the violence? As these folks try to attack a federal courthouse, destroy it, attacking any federal officer standing between them and what they're trying to do. Officers have to respond. They try to get them dispersed. They use tear gas on them. Then they end up using things like rubber bullets. And then when one of the little protesters gets hurt, everybody just, look at them. I got hurt. Help me. Look how bad and mean police are treating us. It's not right. It's not right, huh? Oh, they'll whine and they'll cry and say, look, this was unnecessary. You didn't have to fire rubber bullets at us. Well, then get off the street. You were given numerous orders to disperse. And you're coming at some of our officers with weapons in your hand. Get off the street, disperse. Now, if the Portland mayor is demanding federal agents leave, I don't want them here. What's going to happen as federal agents continue to take their stand, protect their property, and sent in by Homeland Security for other needs as called for? Will you end up having local police at odds with the federal agents? That's kind of question. In some areas, you'd say, yeah, there could be, because the police, or also the police chief maybe, is an elected position or wants to make sure he can run for office in the future as mayor himself, so he's not going to do anything that would cost any votes. But most of those police chiefs and those in blue are going to be there to defend and serve, and they're going to act as true lawmen, lawwomen, law personnel. They're not going to turn an eye and just look away. But again, in the words of the former, or I should say the current acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner, Mark Morgan, listen to his view when that question about feds at odds with the local police.
local law enforcement, again, I've been doing this for a long time, they want to do their job. They want to protect the citizens they serve. What I see this president doing and this administration doing is actually supporting the men and women of law enforcement, both local, state, and federal. And that's what this is about. And look, I don't want to get ahead of the president's announcement, but look, Department of Justice is going to be involved in this. DHS is involved in this. And we're really going to take a stand across the board. And we're going to do what needs to be done.
Yeah, we're expecting a statement from the president from the White House regarding what's happening in Portland. Maybe later today, maybe tomorrow. Now, this Portland mayor, Ted Wheeler, rejecting federal assistance, saying, we'll take care of it. Well, you're not taking care of the protests in your city. You continue to let it happen. He had been a police commissioner in Portland. In fact, as mayor, he actually serves as a police commissioner, I should say. And he came under fire roughly a year ago as he was accused of directing police do not take action against the Antifa activist. He told his police officers to stand down. Senator Ted Cruz had tweeted at that time, "Do federal law enforcement investigate and bring legal action against a mayor who has, for all political reasons, ordered his police officers to let citizens be attacked by domestic terrorists?" And the Portland Police Association president released a statement blaming the mayor for a lack of enforcement, saying, take the handcuffs off our officers. But, of course, the mayor, strictly liberal line, I'm not responsible. Then you got a city deciding to not let police officers make traffic stops. Stand by.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
One other note on Portland before we move away from that subject. The acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf is saying the Portland politicians enabling the mob. They've been enabling the mob for more than 6 weeks. He said that city has been under siege for 47 straight days by a violent mob, and local political leaders refuse to restore order to protect their city. It's absolutely correct. As I said earlier, Biden does not know for sure where he stands on defunding. Well, he does. Yeah, which way is the wind blowing? Come back to me tomorrow. And I told you this violence in our city streets can be a real big issue, maybe the biggest issue, going into this election. Washington Post trying to help the former vice president find his footing. I'm trying to explain when Biden says he's willing to defund, he's not really meaning take all the money away from police. I mean, here's the writer for the Washington Post, the way they wrote it. Said, we should pause a moment and explain what defund the police means. The point is that he'll really be redirecting police funding, so it's not really defunding the police. Well, a conservative columnist read that and said, well, if redirecting funds from Program X to Program Y is not defunding Program X, what is it? You know what it is. It's defunding the police. And, of course, they want, in some cases, not to have police do some of the current duties. They want to give a lot of them to social workers and so forth. And enter Berkeley, California, moving forward with a proposal to eliminate police from conducting traffic stops. Instead, they're going to send unarmed civilian city workers. They have decided to cut their police budget by 50%. And they say for too long, public safety has been equated with more police. Yeah. But now they think we don't need police to have public safety. So one of the things we're going to do, we're going to tell police officers, you will no longer conduct traffic stops. We will have some of our non-sworn individuals. Other city employees do it. They will be dealing with everything from speeding, plates expired, reckless driving, driving while under the influence, that they will step in and do it. Really? More recently, police officers in Washington State killed during routine traffic stops. L.A., San Jose, San Francisco Police Union is pointing out, you want civilians to go out and conduct these dangerous traffic enforcement violations? One of them stating, traffic stops are some of the most dangerous actions police officers take. What happens when the felon with an illegal gun gets pulled over by the parking police? Nothing good, we're sure of that. And of course, they're also, in dealing with traffic stops, officers never know what they're encountering. Would you ever walk up on a car in the middle of the night, just you on a highway, to talk to the people in the car because they were speeding or they didn't signal correctly? That's with a gun on your hip? You want to do as a civilian? Well, you're a braver man than me. You're a braver man than me because I'm not going to do it. And we're going to have more bloodshed on the streets. But not having enough police, not having more police, will be safer. Right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dr. Rick Lehman from the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Some of the late developments involving COVID-19. And I want to know, does he know something going on with the Washington Redskins? It may be a big bombshell.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Glad to welcome back on board Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Rick, glad to have you with us again, sir. Hello, Rick. There you go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Yeah. You got me good? All right, good. We have communications. That's what we try to do in this business. I've got a lot of topics I want to cover reference COVID. Let's begin with some of the reports about vaccine trials. The have a report from Dr. Fauci that says a new vaccine to be tested in the U.S., I think this involves Moderna, is he says no matter how you slice it, this is good news. What's your take?
Well, I think there's no question, and I think there's two things. One thing you have to be careful about is to understand that the vaccine at best is going to help 50% of the people. So the normal vaccine helps 15% of the people, and we're hoping that the coronavirus vaccine is going to help 50% of the people, which would be a huge success. But there's no question that once a vaccine comes, I think everybody is going to have some semblance of immunity, and I think that's going to help the whole process. Now, the question is, when's it going to come? And hopefully it comes by Q1 next year or at latest Q2 next year, you know, midsummer.
And, of course, the one that particular one Dr. Fauci is talking about with Moderna and the National Institutes of Health involved a 30,000-person study that began July 27th. There's still others underway, but AstraZeneca and University of Oxford, they're also showing, quote, robust immune response. I mean, we got a lot of folks working to find some kind of cure or vaccine, I should say.
So there's nine centers that truly three of them are in phase three, which is the last phase, and six of them are in phase two. So, I mean, there is a lot of money and a lot of research going into figuring out this vaccine, and probably two or three, Oxford, I think, is probably at the top of the game right now. University of Pennsylvania is probably second. And these companies are killing it. I mean, they're 24/7 trying to figure out a vaccine.
I know the last time I was in your office a couple of weeks ago for a checking a shoulder injury, I had to wear a mask, obviously. I have no problem with that when you dictate it for your office and in the midst of others who might be vulnerable. My temperature is checked as I go in. Had the same thing happen with a dentist's office the other day. So that front line is going into medical facilities in addition to office spaces at doctors and dentists. I mean, obviously, I think it's a good precaution. Do you see that relaxing anytime soon?
Well, from the AMA, we had a dictum probably about 2 weeks ago that said 2 years wearing a mask. And how much a mask really helps, I think, is questionable. I think if you're out and about and you're at Schnucks or you're at a mall, wearing a mask is a reasonable thing because you don't know who's sick. I think in a doctor's office, when it's one-on-one and you're not, you know, there's given social distancing, I don't know how much help it is, but we're going to be wearing masks, according to the AMA, for at least another 2 years, and I think we'll probably be taking temperatures for another year. So I don't see these things relaxing anytime soon, and some of that's going to be dictated by this quote-unquote second surge. So if that doesn't die down, I think you can count on mask wear, social distancing for a bit longer.
I have had an issue for some time about the death count, as we see the numbers go up. And I'm not saying I have inside information, but there have been enough questions about death by COVID. In other words, if someone died because of COVID or they died with COVID, maybe they were elderly, had some kind of vulnerable issue anyway, and they get COVID, they apparently are slapping COVID-19 on as a death cause. If you're in a car wreck, you die in the car wreck, when they check and they find you have COVID, they're going to put you down as a COVID-19 death in some cases. At least I've been hearing that. What's the story?
Well, the story is very simple, and that is hospitals are getting reimbursed heavily and doctors are getting reimbursed heavily for coding the deaths as COVID. So you hit it on the head. If you have a heart attack and you may have had COVID or you had symptoms that were consistent with COVID, they're going to put the cause of death as COVID. And the reason is the hospital is going to get reimbursed $39,000. Doctors are going to get reimbursed $1,350 for that coding. And that's just a fact. There's no discussion there. So I think there's a heavy, heavy preponderance of overestimating the death counts. And if you're 85 years old and you know, you die of natural causes and you have COVID and you have pneumonia from a different cause, your death certificate's going to say COVID, and that's how it's going to be counted. So I don't think there's a question that the death count is overestimated. The other thing is no one's telling anyone about the negative tests. So all we're hearing about is the bad stuff. No one's getting any of the positive information. And I do think that we're seeing a significant number of people that are much less sick who get the virus.
And just because we have more folks showing they have COVID-19, we expected that as we increased the testing. And if they're showing no other symptoms, then that it for those who want to see the nation stay locked down, they're getting all the ammunition they need. We got more folks showing up with COVID-19 on the test. We got more dying from COVID-19, at least the way they're being coded.
Well, that's right. But, you know, you have to think about it. If you test 10 people and 10% get tested, you got one person. If you test 1 million people and 10% test positive, you know, you've got 100,000 people. So obviously the numbers are going to go up as the testing goes up. That's predictable. The death count has been going down, and I think a lot of, and this isn't just Rick Lehman or the media, lots of doctors are coming out and saying, hey, you know, we're benefiting from the coding of the COVID on the death certificate. So I think you're seeing a significant number of deaths that are probably not COVID-related, and I think you're seeing a lot of people who get the virus totally fine. You know, maybe they're sick for 4 or 5 days, maybe they're sick for a week, but, you know, no one's talking about all the people that have gotten over it. So if 0.01% of the people die, all the other people are getting, you know, are coming out of it and they're healthy. And especially in my world with sports, all the people that I've taken care of, NBA guys, Major League Baseball guys, they're fine. I mean, you haven't heard of one pro athlete who's had any repercussions at all. But that's not what's being reported. You know, that's not selling newspapers.
Right.
And that's not the media cant on it. The media cant on it is everything is terrible and the world's going to end. And that's just not the case.
The other thing you pointed out to me, you sent me a piece showing me that everybody's focusing on this and they're ignoring another case of an incident where 71,000 died from last year from what? Drug overdoses?
Drug overdoses. So, and that's going to be every year, and no vaccine's going to fix that. So, you know, I think we have to look at the big picture. What's the big picture? The big picture is you have a lot of, you know, the murder rates going crazy in Chicago and New York. No one's discussing that. You've got a huge opioid problem and overdose deaths. 71,000, those are the ones we know about, and no one's talking about that. But everyone's worried about something that like most viruses, is going to resolve itself. So I think we have to get a little bit of a reality check. Now, that's not what the media wants to talk about. The media wants to talk about how bad things are,
Doc,
and how bad a job the president's doing, but that's not reality.
Doc, if they die of a drug overdose and they have COVID, I know where they're going to come down on that. Now, before we break, because of your connection with professional sports, there's a story been circulating. Actually, Quentin, my director, called this to my attention late last night or early this morning. I can't recall when I saw it. There's a Washington football bombshell coming, and it's not about the name. I don't know if it's got to do with the ownership. What else is happening? What are you hearing from some of your people?
Well, you know, I think the underlying story is Dan Snyder might be stepping down. I think that's the bombshell you're going to hear.
That's a bombshell? I mean, the owner, that's it?
That's what I think you're going to hear, yes, sir. Now, there may be more coming. I don't know. But that's kind of the issue right now that people are talking about. Now, why that's a bombshell or even a shock, you know, in the face of all this, I don't know.
Let me read you a couple of quotes from beat reporters that they're supposedly close. The CBS former team reporter says the warped and toxic culture of the team is about to be exposed in a sickening fashion. One with NBC Sports says what's coming is disappointing and sad. I mean, I guess suggesting there's some major drug incident behind the team or in the midst of the team, and maybe, I don't know, with or without ownership knowledge?
That very well may be, and that wouldn't surprise me one bit.
In 30 seconds, why not? Why wouldn't that surprise you?
Well, I mean, I think that culture is out there, not just in the Washington Redskins, so there certainly could be a significant – there could certainly be some significant things going on in terms of drug culture, and you know, you had it in baseball, you've had it in many sports, so that wouldn't shock me in the least, Larry.
And yet the focus on D.C. or Washington right now. And of course,
correct.
Aren't you happy they're getting rid of the Redskins name? Aren't you happy about that?
You know what? I mean, unless someone's offended, that's been the name for all these years. I think if they want to change a name and people are offended, that's fine. Personally, you know, when they named the Washington Redskins however many years ago, it wasn't offensive. It hasn't been offensive for a long time. Now it's offensive.
Well, there are those who say in the Indian culture, American Indian, oh, it's been offensive for generations and nobody's done anything about it. But that's such a small group. And the whole idea to me was to raise up the value of American Indians, showing their bravery and so forth. But I'm like you. I don't get it. Doc,
And I think that the whole thing with the Chicago Black, you can go on and on and on. And again, I think if they're offended, they should change the name. I truly believe that. But otherwise, I think it's actually a bright spot. You know, someone said, hey, let's call it the Washington Rick Lehmans. I would love that.
All right. Well, we'll give you that name as we close out. Thanks for joining us, Doc. We'll look forward to your football team in the near future. Dr. Rick Lehman.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, as we wait for a vaccine, and maybe it will work and maybe it won't, and we're still going to be living with COVID-19 in some form, maybe for generations to come, like any other flu strain that comes up. Who knows? We've got many companies mandating for their employees, you must wear a mask. And if you're going inside their business, they have a sign stating if you're going to be in our business, you must wear a mask. They can do what they want. It's their company, and they should. I mean, it's up to them. And then you've got various mandates in cities and counties, and some saying they will enforce it, some saying they won't. The Georgia governor now banning cities and counties from mandating masks. He said, I'm not going to let cities and counties mandate masks to be worn in public. And I know there are a lot of folks are saying, I don't want to be told if I have to wear a mask. Well, I think common sense for most of us is going to come into play. I'm a Harley rider. Missouri is ready to drop the helmet law. Illinois doesn't have one. A lot of guys I ride with in the Missouri side, they keep their helmets on. They get to Illinois, they take them off. I still keep mine on. That's my preference. If they want to ride without one, that's their preference. And if something goes wrong and a helmet might have saved them from death or severe brain injury, then they'll pay that price. And yet there is a law, or was a law in Missouri, now it's changing. There's a law about having to wear our seat belts. They can stop you and charge you that. That's another case. You want to complain about you're always mandated? Well, in that case, they insist you have it at this point until it drops and changes. I say don't make that such a big point of contention. You're going into business, they want you to wear it, well, then wear it. Now, if you've got a city or county government demanding you wear it, even if you're outside or even if you're in car, then there's going to be a coming to meeting, you know, to that meeting I'm talking about. Which brings me to a church service held Palm Sunday in the state of Virginia, where the pastor, the Virginia pastor, was arrested because he violated their coronavirus lockdown. He was facing jail time. It was a criminal charge against him because he held church service on Palm Sunday. Well, now they've decided to drop it, which is what they should have done. Never should have charged the pastor for it. No, what we need is more help from the really intelligent people, and that would be some of the Hollywood actresses. I'll come to an example in a moment. But in the meantime, the GOP convention is probably going to have to change on the numbers being allowed at what time. They may even make it an outside event. And Tim Murtaugh, the director of communications for the president's campaign, has this to say about the mainstream media and how it looks at COVID.
I do not recall MSNBC or CNN or anybody else being concerned about the safety of people who attended those gatherings. But suddenly, when it is involving a President Trump rally, then, of course, then these safety measures are of a paramount. But when it's a large gathering with a political message that MSNBC would agree with, suddenly safety measures are really on the back burner.
He's absolutely right. And they'll tell you it's not political. It's political every time they do it that way because they're not maintaining a consistent approach on it. And we had that the other day from Bill de Blasio when he was asked, even Wolf Blitzer asked him, well, what you say you don't want to have these main major gatherings. What about street protests? And the first words out of de Blasio's mouth, well, that's a sensitive issue. It's either a health issue or it's not. If it's a health issue, you can't do things you want to do in New York City because of COVID-19, but yet you can go protest because it's a sensitive issue that supports Democrats. So let me give you some advice from Hollywood elite, such as Alyssa Milano. She says, what we need is a national shutdown, a national shutdown. Everything's been open, just shut it down. Of course, California, where she lives, had opened up a little bit, and then the California governor announced renewed restrictions and shutdowns to slow down the virus again. California is like many states. It did see a surge in COVID-19 cases. Not necessarily deaths, not even hospitalizations, but cases. So they decided to back off things. Even Texas Governor Abbott did. They sent out orders to bars. You have to close again for a period of time. And Governor Abbott finally decided, yeah, I think we do need to mandate masks throughout the state, but some sheriffs say they're not going to enforce it. But here's Alyssa Milano. See, the Hollywood elite, they know much more than you and me. I mean, come on. Come on. They're Hollywood. She says, just shut it down. She says, F this. All these a-holes talking about our kids going back to school. We need a national shutdown now. Oh, and she's got an option for those who'd be suffering. Print cash. Print cash? The woman has no concept of the economic situation for the world, much less what this country's doing. She says, give people some cash and credit cards till we get this under control. Of course, you know it's not going to hurt her. She may not be able to make any more movies or records or whatever for a period of time, but she's got her money. She's fine inside her mansion, or to get in her private jet and go somewhere else if she wants to. You? Well, it sucks to be you, doesn't it? Because you're not a Hollywood elite. You just have to sit there and suffer. And that's what many of the libs want you to do now. Just suffer. Just suffer through it. Hey, coming up the next hour. Did Trump promise you a rose garden? We're going to have a lot of fun in the next hour. I want you to listen to this program all the time, but you certainly do not want to miss our next hour. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.